The Holy Gospel according to John, the 21st chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
After he appeared to his followers in Jerusalem, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples by the Sea of Tiberias, and he showed himself in this way. Gathered there together were Simon Peter, Thomas called the twin, Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two others of his disciples. Simon Peter said to them, "I'm going fishing." They said to him, "We will go with you." They went out and got into the boat, but the night that they caught nothing. Just after daybreak, Jesus stood on the beach, but the disciples did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to them, "Children, you have no fish, have you?" They answered him, "No." He said to them, "Cast the net to the right side of the boat, and you will find some." So they cast it, and now they were not able to haul it in because there were so many fish. That disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, "It is the Lord." When Simon Peter heard it was the Lord, he put on some clothes, for he was naked, and jumped into the sea. But the other disciples came in the boat, dragging the net full of fish, for they were not far off from land, only about 100 yards. When they had gone ashore, they saw a charcoal fire there, and fish on it, and bread. Jesus said to them, "Bring some of the fish that you have just caught." So Simon Peter went aboard and hauled the net ashore full of large fish, 153 of them. And though there were so many, the net was not torn. Jesus said to them, "Come and have breakfast." Now none of the disciples dared to ask him, "Who are you?" because they knew it was the Lord. Jesus came and took the bread and gave it to them and did the same with the fish. This was now the third time that Jesus appeared to the disciples after he was raised from the dead. When they finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" He said to them, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my lambs." A second time, he said to him, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Tend my sheep." He said to him the third time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter felt hurt, because he said to him the third time, "Do you love me?" And Peter said to him, "Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my sheep. Very truly, I tell you, when you were younger, you would fasten your own belt and to go wherever you wished. But when you grow old, you will stretch out your hands and someone else fasten a belt around you and take you where you do not wish to go." He said this to indicate the kind of death by which he would glorify God. After this, he said to him, "Follow me." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Many of you, I'm sure, are familiar with Mamie Vassar, a longtime member of this congregation and a dear friend. Mamie took a fall just over a year ago and broke her hip. And it was a very intense story of paramedics coming to rescue her. Thank God she had one of those lifeline button things. And Mamie braved a bunch of things after this incident. Physical therapy, even an extra pacemaker on top of everything else. And Mamie is now living at the Village Assisted Care Facility, where she's able to get the help she needs for daily tasks. And though the staff speak lovingly of her and her sense of humor, and she has said how much she loves the staff and her roommates at the Village, Mamie has also said to me many times how much she misses her house on 4th Street, a house that she lived in for over 50 years. She said to me, "You know, that fall changed so many things. There's no way I could go back to how things were. There's no way to go back to how things were." I think Mamie's thoughts are similar to what the disciples maybe were also thinking after seeing Jesus. Christ is risen. Wow, things are not going to be the same. Yet, what I'm sure is a little bit frustrating for Jesus is that his disciples don't really seem to get it, that things have changed and that you can't go back. As the Gospel of John says, this was the third time that Jesus appeared to them. The first time, they were in Jerusalem in the upper room without Thomas. The second time, they were in Jerusalem in the upper room with Thomas. And this third time, this story, it appears, they went back to almost kind of their regular jobs. They went back home and went fishing. Back to things, how things were like before, it seems. So my question is what happened then to the resurrection and the life? Or the love one another as I have loved you? Or the be fishers of humanity? What happened to seeing the resurrected Jesus twice and God's triumphant naming of Emmanuel, that of God with you, even until the end of the age? Things have changed since Easter. The world is not the same. Christ is risen. Yet the disciples don't initially try to do anything after these words differently. Or they try, or they fail, or they don't really know what to do. They kind of just went back home and started to fish again. So how does Jesus respond then to his disciples not really knowing what to do or not really knowing and so going back to life as before? Well, he comes to them as stranger. Verse 4 reads, just after daybreak, Jesus stood on the beach, but the disciples did not know that it was Jesus. And I think this is really, really important that Jesus starts off as stranger in this story for many reasons. But because I think it's the stranger that can remind us constantly that we are in a new place. It's the stranger, the one who doesn't belong or the one who is new, who I think has the most capacity to show us something new. And I know that the disciples get a bad rap here, but they also do something quite amazing in this story. Because even though the disciples were afraid and trying to figure out which end is up in this new world, they saw Jesus as stranger and they accepted this stranger's invitation to break bread together. That's important because it's accepting the invitation in the eating of bread and fish with a stranger turned friend that I think brings these disciples back from the old world into the new world of the risen Christ. And you know, some of the earliest Christian records that we have, paintings and writings, actually don't depict Holy Communion as bread and wine, what we're used to today. But Holy Communion in the first century actually started off as fish and water. So the next time that I have a trout fillet for you at Holy Communion, you probably know why. Fish and water. And you know, there are a lot of reasons for why the early Christians did this. But I think one valid reason for why it is fish and water, it started out that way, was because early Christians wanted to be reminded of this story. This story of Jesus as stranger on the beach, issuing the invitation into a new world. The eating of fish then is what gives them the foundation and the sustenance to begin living in a new way. And this is key, I think, because if somebody comes up to you and says, oh, just do something different, live differently. Well, we all know how successful that is. But we need sustenance, right? We need ways in which we can give a foundation to living out this new creation that God has changed through the risen Christ. It kind of reminds me actually of the famous saying that we probably all know, give a person a fish, you feed them for a day. Teach the person to fish, you feed them for a lifetime. The same is true here. Through the practice of Holy Communion, through gathering around the table, through eating together, eating with the stranger, we are taught the new dynamics of God's new creation. It's a structure. It's a way that propels us from the old creation into the new. But let's talk about that for a minute. So, this idea that what is the new creation, an old creation that the disciples straddle one in one foot? What is this new creation of the risen Christ? How has the world changed through Christ? We have had two new membership classes this past month, and it's been such a joy to connect with Mike and Karen and Doug and Shirley. And our last session, which was this past Wednesday, Shirley made the wonderful comment. She says, you know, when I'm in this church, I just feel like I'm part of a new family. And you know what? I think that quote says something. Because if we want to boil down the entire gospel of Jesus Christ, the entire reason for what this new creation stands for, I think that surely hit it on the nose. It's a new family. It's a new definition of family is what Jesus calls us into in this new creation. It's a new way of relationship with each other, with the earth, with God. And it's in gathering and eating fish together where it starts. That's where it starts. It's in gathering and eating together where then we can see each other differently. Where we can see each other as brother and sister and not merely as friend. You know, there's been a huge uptick of violence, especially violence and rhetoric against Muslims in this country as of late. Examples of why this is are pretty easy to find, unfortunately. A presidential candidate who has said publicly that he wants to ban, quote, all Muslims from the United States. A huge increase in harassment that's being recorded for Muslim school children in public schools. And a public Montana Without Muslims campaign that stems from our immigration policies within our own state. It is clear to me that millions of Muslim citizens in our own country are living in a rising fear. So then, is Jesus as stranger calling out to us on the beach in this situation? Are we being invited to live differently into the new creation of the risen Christ? I believe we are. Now isn't the time for us to go back to our old ways of a creation that relied upon old and outdated rules. It is time for us to show others what this new family in Christ really means. A few of you remember that I'm on the board of the United Religions Initiative, a nonprofit that strives for tolerance and respect among different faith traditions. In November this past year, the Leadership Council of the United Religions Initiative actually met here in Missoula. Some of you might remember that we had the board that came and worshiped with us that Sunday of their conference. And so, during worship, we did kind of like we always did, and I prepped the altar for Holy Communion, and I gave my usual invitation to the altar. And that is, Jesus ate with anyone who wished to eat with him. So anyone is invited to this table. And so then I, after saying this, I got all prepped up for Holy Communion, and the ushers got going. And sure enough, the first person who got in line to accept Holy Communion was Danya, an American Muslim from New York. She held out her hand and she said, "Well, you said Jesus would eat with anyone, and I definitely would like to eat with Jesus today." Now, does Danya have the same understanding of Holy Communion as I do? No, she does not. Does her faith see Christ in the same way as mine? No. But does Danya represent Jesus Christ on the beach inviting me into a new creation? I think she does. So I made the difficult decision in that split second. I gave her the bread and wine of Jesus Christ, because I feel that Danya is part of my new family in Christ, in this new creation. And I can't exactly explain all of the theological ins and outs of it, but I feel that she is. That is what it means for me, I think, to live in a new creation of the risen Christ. Things are not the same, and now is not the time to go back to old ways. I hope and I pray that you might also think about what has changed in this world since the risen Christ. What is the new family of Christ to you? May you heed the invitation of Jesus as stranger on the beach, calling us, inviting us into new ways of living as family. And may gathering around the eating of water and fish, or bread and wine, Holy Communion, nourish you and sustain you as children of God. Amen.